This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This week, President Trump's cabinet has continued to come together. His planned mass deportations are moving forward, and executive orders are being issued and carried out. Is this a great time to be a Republican lawmaker on Capitol Hill? Well, this weekend, we're going to have a conversation with someone who fits that description, Congressman Darren LaHood. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. LaHood is the congressman from the 16th District of Illinois. He was born and raised in Peoria. He was first elected to Congress around 2015. The 16th District is big, encompassing 21 counties across central and northwestern Illinois, and that includes areas from Rockford and Galena down to Peoria and Bloomington. We're conducting this interview via Zoom conferencing. Congressman Darren LaHood, welcome. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Craig. Great to be on with you and your listeners today.
Well, we thank you. One of the last times we spoke was during the Republican National Convention that propelled Donald Trump to victory. So now, a few weeks into his presidency, how do you feel he's doing?
Well, I think there's a lot of optimism, a lot of enthusiasm, and people are excited for the new president. And if you go back and look at the election results back on November 5th, of last year. And, you know, it surprised a lot of people. President won all seven swing states, got the popular vote, which nobody expected, got a record number of African-American voters and Hispanic voters. But I think it was also a reflection, Craig, that people thought the country was headed in the wrong direction. And what never changed during the presidential race was 70% of the country, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, thought the country was headed in the wrong direction based on the economy and the border issues, illegal immigration issues. And so that was really the message that came out of the election. And so fast forward, the president got, as we all know, inaugurated on January 20th. We're almost 3.5 weeks since then. And it's been a lot of energy and, again, a lot of enthusiasm. And he's hit the ground running. And I think he's done a remarkable job in kind of putting forth what he wants to get across to the country, how he wants to change the direction of the country, and putting in a cabinet in place that can execute some of those things and disrupting. That's what I've always said about President Trump. I think he is a disruptor in many ways, but government needs that sometimes, particularly when we're $36 trillion in debt. And the people of the country wanted change on the economy and on what I would call the unmitigated disaster at our southern border. We're seeing that play out. It's still early in the administration, but I'm generally excited about the opportunity we have to change the direction of the country.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about some of those directions and some of the changes, but let's start with what's happening. In fact, even as we speak, the president is signing orders while we're recording this. The president has signed a dizzying number of executive orders. Some of them, I think his critics and even some allies would say are questionable legality. They're on everything from birthright citizenship to environmental regulations to government employment to criminal justice. What's most significant to you as we are hearing so many new ideas, so many old ideas, but so many things coming out at once?
There's a number of things that I think stand out. I mentioned earlier that the border was one of the number one issues in the election. If you look at putting back the Remain in Mexico policy, that was one of his first executive orders, reinstating catch and release by executive order. These are executive orders that were put in place actually during the first Trump administration that have been able to survive legal scrutiny and basically reverse policies that Biden had in place. But let's just take for a second the Remain in Mexico policy. Essentially, what that says is we work with the Mexican government and their military so that anybody that wants to try to cross the border from Mexico to the United States gets stopped on the Mexican side. Now, they can apply for asylum. They can apply to become a U.S. citizen. They can go through the process of doing that, but they're going to do it on the Mexican side. Since that happened, illegal immigration has come to a trickle, similar to what happened during the first Trump administration. And so almost overnight, by putting back in that policy, he's changed the trajectory of illegal immigration. And so that one, I mentioned catch and release of sending people back to their country of origin. I think those have been very impactful thus far. I would also just mention DEI, the executive orders that affect, DEI programs throughout the federal government. Those were reversed. And I think those, I think, will have an impact on a number of our government agencies and in changing things. And lastly, some of the wokeism and cancel culture that had seeped into many of our agencies and the federal government were reversed too. And I think that was a reflection of what President talked about when he was on the campaign trail, if he was able to get elected. To your point earlier, Craig, I do think from a legal standpoint, as a former federal prosecutor, as a practicing attorney, I do think there are going to be some legal challenges. You mentioned birthright citizenship and a couple others that will be litigated. And I'm not sure the president will be successful on that. But I think there are also messaging bills. There are messaging executive orders that, again, put out an agenda that he hopes to accomplish, if not by executive order, through codification of law and working through the Congress to try to get a few of those things through.
Is there anything in this that worries you at this point? Are you concerned about some of the things, that are coming off that desk?
Well, to be honest with you, I have not read every single executive order. I will say this on tariffs. The president issued a flurry of tariffs over the last week here, last few days, actually. For a district like mine, Craig, where I have a lot of, remember, in Illinois, agriculture is the number one industry. About 40% of the corn and soybeans grown in my district go somewhere else around the world. You have to have customers, you have to have markets, whether you're a manufacturer or whether you're a farmer. So tariffs, to me, tariffs are taxes. They're taxes on my farmers, they're taxes on my constituents, they're taxes on businesses. And so, tariffs can have a detrimental effect if you're relying on the international market system and selling goods overseas, which again, a lot of my farmers do. Now, do I think tariffs can be used in a strategic and tactical way to hold countries accountable that don't abide by the same rules and standards that every other industrialized country in the world does? Of course. And China is a poster child for that. China steals our intellectual property. They have a different set of rules and standards. They cheat the World Trade Organization. They manipulate their currency. So can tariffs be used in a targeted way to change that behavior? Of course. So I'm willing to give the president some discretion on doing that, but it can't be tariffs alone. We can't predicate our trade policy or our economic policy solely on tariffs. So those, I'm cautiously watching what happens on tariffs. I don't want that to be detrimental to the industries and the farmers and the people throughout my district.
And, you know, I want to stay with that a little bit because do you believe that the president is getting the kind of advice that will keep those guardrails up to keep it from hurting the agriculture? Because, I mean, we've been hearing reports from, you know, some farmers that they are not only worried, but even something like the USAID, the Agency for International Development, cutting the funding for that, the U.S. farmers were the ones who were selling the food aid that was going out to other countries, and now they're not making those sales. So it's not just the tariffs, although that's one big part of it, but it's also other things that are, you know, will affect the farmers.
Well, tariffs are, again, first and foremost, let me just back up for a sec. On the tariff issue, what concerns me is when you get into a trade war, which tariffs can cause a trade war, the first pawn in the trade war is agriculture. And that's how China and others will respond accordingly. And so that, again, that worries me because we actually have a trade surplus in agriculture because we produce a lot of good corn and soybeans and other products. But if you go back to when President Trump, in the first time he was in office, the tariffs didn't necessarily have the inflationary effects or the detrimental effect. And part of that was because of the tax cuts, because of deregulation, because of energy production. So again, I think if tariffs are used unilaterally without other things, I think they'll have a negative effect on that. So I'm watching that. You mentioned USAID. I mean, that compared to tariffs has a very, very minor effect on agriculture, different from what tariffs can do. I think if the tariffs are offset with a tax package, which we're working on right now to make permanent the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, if we have energy production go to a higher level and that brings down the cost of energy, I think that can offset tariffs and also deregulation and bringing down interest rates can help with that too.
Let's stick with since we're talking about tariffs, that's in some ways foreign affairs. Let's stick with that for a little bit because last week you joined Democratic New Jersey Congressman Josh Gottheimer in introducing a bill to ban artificial intelligence, the artificial intelligence system DeepSeek, from government devices. That is an issue that keeps coming up in different forms. We were talking about TikTok not long ago. DeepSeek is new. Talk to me about why that is a growing concern for you.
I come to this issue, Craig, from a national security standpoint. I serve on our House Intelligence Committee. I also serve on our Select Committee on China. And anything that's affiliated with the CCP, the Communist Chinese Party, that is solely owned by them, every American should be worried about that. And so Congressman Gottheimer, a Democrat from New Jersey, who I serve on the House Intelligence Committee with, we introduced legislation to ban DeepSeek from any government device, any computer, any phone, any electronic mechanism. Because make no mistake about it, Craig, DeepSeek is solely controlled by the Communist Chinese Party. So as an AI app, that just kind of came on the market, it is letting an adversary who's working against the United States to have the data and the intellectual property and the ability to circumvent a number of our laws, but also to be on our government devices. No adversary should have that type of access. And so we've introduced this legislation to do that. By the way, Craig, a number of our allies around the world have already done this, right? So Italy has done it, Belgium has done it, South Korea has done it, Australia has done it, and others are looking at it. Beyond that, just this week, the state of New York and the state of Texas, one Republican state, one Democrat state, their governors have put in place orders to stop DeepSeek from being on government devices. So DeepSeek has a backdoor to the Communist Chinese Party. It's interesting. If you want to see the effect that the Communist Chinese Party has on DeepSeek. If you went onto the app and you tried to say something negative about Xi Jinping, you can't do that. If you want to talk negatively about the Communist Chinese Party, it will not allow you because, again, it's controlled by them. If you want to talk about Taiwanese independence for the country of Taiwan, you cannot have that conversation on DeepSeek. So that should tell you everything about it. And as a background, you alluded to it, Craig, similar to TikTok, which I supported, a ban on TikTok because of the direct control by the CCP and the backdoor to U.S. citizens' data. I supported that. And not just me. J.D. Vance, when he was a senator, voted for that bill. Marco Rubio voted for that bill. Mike Waltz, the new national security advisor, voted for that. And so it's important that we remember TikTok. And then before that was Huawei. Huawei, Chinese data company that is involved with telecommunications. Again, they've had a backdoor to U.S. Privacy data. And so we've had a strong effort and a successful effort in many ways to get our allies and any U.S. entity to stop using Huawei.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this is a continuation, in my view, from Huawei to TikTok to now DeepSeek. And we have introduced the bill. We have broad bipartisan support. I anticipate we'll get it passed.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore. And my guest this week is Republican Congressman Darren LaHood from Peoria. I want to back up a little bit into the big picture of the different orders and, frankly, the remaking of government that is underway right now. Do you have any concerns about the amount of power and influence that Elon Musk is single-handedly wielding going into agencies, slashing staffing and spending?
Couple things, Craig. Elon Musk has been extremely successful in the private sector, richest man in the world, started multiple companies, from scratch and made them immensely successful. Obviously, Tesla, SpaceX, and a number of others. So I think he's immensely qualified. You alluded to it. He doesn't, not formally a government employee. President has put him in charge of DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. I'm willing to give him discretion, willing to give him the opportunity to find out in government where to find excess, where you can find redundancies, how we can make government more effective, efficient, and accountable. This would be a much different conversation. And frankly, I don't think Elon Musk would be involved if we were $36 trillion in surplus. We're not. We're $36 trillion in debt. We're running $2 trillion debts with our current budget. It's interesting, Craig. I serve on the House Intelligence Committee. We recently had a number of very prominent military generals, General Petraeus, General McChrystal, that have served under Republican and Democrat administrations. And we were having a discussion in the Intelligence Committee about the threats from adversaries to the U.S. And both of them said, the biggest threat to the United States is our debt. Because if we continue down this path, we're not going to have any resources to pay for anything. And so my point is getting back to what Elon Musk, the DOGE committee, and others are focused on how do we get our budget under control, it has to be a part of that. So I know it's been a little unconventional. I know they've come out of the gate very strong on this. But I'm willing to give them some discretion. And I think some of the things they've already exposed on where money was spent, I think has been, very, very, it's been very good exposure to the problems in the federal government, what needs to change. And so when you turn on spigots of government and they never get shut off, how else do you get things under control? And so I think he brings a good perspective on that. And I think it'll be immensely beneficial in the end. Remember, all of these things are going to eventually have to be voted on in Congress, but exposure on this by people that are in the private sector, figuring out how we can make efficiencies, I think can be a positive thing for taxpayers.
Now, what should, everyday people make about the executive orders that do things like get rid of inspectors general at all of the agencies? I think people have come to think of those as people who are looking out for fraud and waste and doing things. And should they not worry when the people who we've been paying to find fraud and waste are being fired?
I think we should worry, Craig, if for some reason President Trump doesn't put in inspector generals in all these agencies. Under any new administration, the new president has the ability to replace the inspector generals. And multiple presidents over the last 25 years have done that. Now, they maybe not have gotten rid of all of them. So that may be a little unusual. But if 2 months from now or 3 months from now, President Trump hasn't put inspector generals in there, I think we have a problem. I think there'll be a number of us in Congress that'll raise awareness on that, because you have to have inspector generals in there. Those inspector generals will have to be approved and confirmed by the Senate. But I think those will be put in place and recommended here shortly. And I think they'll have the independence to make sure that what's being done is being done the right way.
And you just alluded to this. At what point might congressional Republicans, because you're in the majority, move to limit President Trump's power? There are some critics who are suggesting that, the Republicans are just rolling over and letting the president do whatever he wants. Where's the line going to be drawn?
A couple points on that, Craig. One is, obviously, we have three branches of government, and as everyone knows, the judicial, legislative, and executive branch. What you've seen already with a number of these executive orders is the judicial branch. There's a number of lawsuits that have been filed. There's been a number of injunctions issued to stop whether it's birthright, citizenship, or a number of others from moving forward. And so I think the legal system will obviously play the role that it does. In terms of the legislative branch, obviously our oversight pertains mostly to spending. And so as we see a number of these priorities that require federal dollars, require appropriations, require statutes to be passed. I think we'll look at those very, very carefully. And the ones that I think that Republicans are supportive of, I think you'll see a positive reaction. But remember, Craig, we have a razor thin majority. We have a 1-2 seat majority in the House. And so that's going to require us to be cohesive and to come together and to have policies that unite our Republican Party to do that. And of course, then you have to get it through the Senate. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But there'll be appropriate oversight on spending, appropriate oversight on taxes, appropriate oversight on tariffs that the Congress will embrace, and on defense and intelligence policy.
Yeah, and you have been supportive of President Trump and the DOJ's decision to sue Chicago, Cook County, and Illinois, going back to immigration, for, in their view, violating federal immigration laws. This is involving the efforts to deport, at least what is publicly said as, mainly criminals and other undocumented immigrants. Why do you feel a refusal to participate in federal enforcement is a violation?
Well, I think it's a violation of the law. It's a violation of the Supremacy Clause. Chicago's a poster child for failed sanctuary city policies, Craig. And so that's why the lawsuit was filed appropriately by U.S. DOJ under the Trump administration to force the mayor of Chicago and the governor to enforce the rule of law. We believe, and I believe the lawsuit articulates that well, the Supremacy Clause of the United States Constitution requires that the federal government enforce the rule of law, that when elite people come here illegally and cross our border illegally and don't follow the path to legal citizenship, and then they commit crimes in this country, which many of them have, that the federal government has the ability to send them back to their country of origin and to kick them out of the country. And so if you look at the filing of the legal lawsuit, it's based on the Supremacy Clause, that the federal government has the constitutional right and the constitutional mandate to do this under the Supremacy Clause. And what's happened at the southern border over the last 4 years is an unmitigated disaster, allowing 11 million people to come across our border. But not only that, it used to be, there was a few states that were border states. Now, almost every state across the country is a border state. And Chicago's and the state of Illinois is a good example of that. And so I support DOJ moving forward. But I also, the second point that I will make, Craig, is the amount of money that taxpayers in Chicago and the state of Illinois have had to put up for illegal immigrants. You know, in the city of Chicago, the mayor and the city spent $300 million. Now, the city has a budget deficit of $1 billion, but they're spending $300 million when they can't afford to pay for police officers and firefighters and first responders, but you're giving $300 million to illegals. Again, that's, I think, a violation of what our federal law stands for. The state of Illinois, $800 million going to support illegal immigrants in the state of Illinois by Governor Pritzker. And we got $140 billion of unfunded liability in our state of Illinois because of our massive pension overload. So for a variety of reasons, on behalf of taxpayers, but more importantly, on the rule of law, we need to do this. They have failed to enforce the rule of law in this country by allowing illegal immigrants to flood into Chicago and into our communities. And from my point of view, and from a legal standpoint of view, I believe it's a blatant violation of our immigration laws.
How satisfied are you that ICE is mainly targeting people who have committed crimes since they've been here, or as even the White House press office at one point said, the very crime was that they crossed into the country? If that's the only crime, should those people be targeted, or should the targets be people who have committed, violent crimes, or what we would think of as crimes, as opposed to just simply having been here? Because, there have been a few complaints that people who've lived here a long time, established homes and businesses, are also being swept up in the net.
Well, I haven't seen too much of that. I mean, I've been following this closely, Craig, And I think targeting criminals, targeting people associated with drug cartels, targeting people that have committed offenses, either felony or misdemeanor offenses, in the city of Chicago or the state of Illinois, those are the ones that they're picking up and sending back. And I don't know how you justify or how you explain that or how you make excuses for that on why they shouldn't go back to their country of origin. The other point that I will make, Craig, is a number of our federal prisons, you know, up to 25% of the federal prisoners are from another country. And so why should taxpayers be paying $500 a day to have them sitting in a federal prison when they've been adjudicated and convicted? They shouldn't. Send them back to their country of origin, wherever that is. And that's being done. And so I think when I talk to my constituents or taxpayers or citizens, they believe that's the right thing to do. And that's been the focus thus far by Tom Homan, by the Homeland Security Department, and the Trump administration.
One last thing I want to touch on is we have seemingly been in an era where cooperation between the parties has been almost a pejorative. We've seen some people run out of their positions of power because they cooperated with somebody from the other side. Do you think we are beyond the time when the sides, even with a razor-thin majority, can really do something together and actually accomplish things in unison?
Absolutely. I just mentioned earlier on your show that the Deep Seek bill that I introduced with the Democrat from New Jersey, we have broad bipartisan support on going after that. I also serve on our Select Committee on China, Craig, bipartisan committee of Democrats and Republicans. If you look at the work that we've been engaged in and trying to win the strategic competition against China, very bipartisan, and it should be. Last year, Craig, I led the effort on the Ways and Means Committee on the low-income housing tax credit. It was the most bipartisan tax bill at the urban, suburban, and rural level. And we got it passed in the House. We didn't get it through the Senate, but we'll have it reintroduced this year. There's plenty of bipartisan work that's going on to better the country, to look out for the best interests of taxpayers. And so, listen, I'm just one member of Congress, but I look forward to continue to be engaged and look for ways to work together. Now, that doesn't always get covered in the media. And another bill that I will mention is a bill that Congressman Danny Davis and I worked on last year to reform the foster care system. It got passed into law. It was signed by President Biden in early January before he left office. Again, those don't always get covered in the media because they're not sexy. They're not the car accident that everyone wants to see. They're not the drama that people tend to focus on. But there's still a lot of good work going on.
Well, I hope we will cover more of the, because there's a lot of drama in government these days. So I hope we'll be covering what is getting done. So thank you very much. That is Peoria Republican Congressman Darren LaHood. Thanks for spending the time with us. To our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.